Moncrief on News Talk.
It's something that many people quietly fantasize about. Resign your job, but do it in a spectacular fashion. Hire a marching band or go on a rant on TikTok about your evil bosses. But if you are thinking of doing something like this, perhaps take a breath. Caroline Reedy, Director of the HR Suite, is here to TikTok you off the ledge. Good afternoon, Caroline.
Good afternoon, Sean. It's amazing what people will do in the spur of the moment when emotions are high and they think, well, sure, what have I to lose? But we're starting to see this crazy trend, is probably the best way to put it, of revenge when people are leaving, becoming more dramatic on our social media platforms in recent times, because I suppose they have the platform to do that and to really promote it.
Yeah. And have you personally seen any evidence of this? Like, are there people in Ireland doing this?
We've seen people a lot more animated and a lot more like dropping the bomb as they go out the door and sending an email or a message to, you know, the whole organisation type of approach. Less so than we've seen people go on a social platform and do it there. But definitely, I suppose we've seen the positive of people speaking up to say it's not okay. Definitely has, you know, come to life hugely in the last number of years, where if they see something in the organization, either they're experiencing themselves or is being experienced by somebody else, they're very proactive in terms of flagging that. Normally, they will go through the normal channels, i.e. the procedures and policies that are there. But we definitely have seen random acts of the moment to madness, where somebody goes, you know, they've been told, you know, that they've resigned, and then they send the email to say the reason I've resigned is because, and again, the dramatics that go with it. But I think it's probably that moment to madness piece where people are thinking, so what have I achieved from that? And actually, is that going to do any good in the long run?
Yeah. Now, if somebody, you know, sends the snotty email saying these are the reasons I'm leaving, does that necessarily affect your employment chances down the road?
I think definitely if you do the dramatic examples that are out there of, you know, somebody going on TikTok doing the very dramatic thing and they've got huge amount of likes and clicks, etc., that ultimately will mean that if that person is Googled, it's going to be the first thing that comes up. And I would say that the objectively justified job criteria of deciding, will I recruit this person, might be called into question. You know, somebody may say, well, look, if they've done this before, do I really want to employ them? So I think that element of it, I think, is huge. I think anybody can raise a grievance, anyone can raise an issue. And generally now there's admirability linked to the fact that we want people to speak up and we want people to flag issues. I think it's doing it in the right way. But the other side of it, I suppose, is we've had a trend for ages of quiet quitting, where somebody who has, you know, lost interest in the job or feels they're being unfairly treated or they've maybe been overlooked for the promotion, they just sit there and they do the bare minimum and they do the quiet quitting and they say, well, look, I'm not leaving because I need the job security. I don't want to be on probation again for whatever reason. Yet this is the opposite extreme, where somebody is dramatically thrown that grenade as they leave the organisation.
Yeah. Now, no, but I assume there would be a difference between putting something on online, which is in the public domain, and writing a snotty email, you know, to your boss or your employer.
Because absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, I suppose no company is going to share publicly what's been shared on an internal process, and people have rights around privacy and GDPR, etc., that goes with it. But usually in this example of revenge and trying to, you know, make it's, people are aiming to make it as dramatic as possible. But I agree with you, Sean. I think we're going to still see the grenade being thrown, but it's likely that that'll happen at a lesser public level than anything else. But again, we want people to have freedom of speech. We want people to speak up. I definitely wouldn't be in any way trying to dull that. But I think it's how you can do that constructively rather than doing it maybe with a bit of venom, maybe with a bit of, you know, that revenge ethos of, you know, well, look, the other person may not get the opportunity then to be heard and say, well, actually, that's not true. And actually, what really happened was there was an issue with performance or something like that.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, you know, you mentioned quiet quitting. That seems to be a thing. And you know, people being extraordinarily angry at their employers. And there seems to have been a huge increase of it since the pandemic. Are you finding that people are just less happy with their jobs nowadays?
There's definitely, you know, the happiness benchmark of let's try. And if somebody isn't happy, there's usually now so many ways, like employers are doing surveys. There's one called the happiness survey that you take a pulse to say how happy are you in your job right now, anonymously at a point in time, etc. There's a lot more avenues to flag concerns. But at the end of the day, we still have a lot of people who are in a job that they really dislike, are really complaining, give out about, but they do absolutely nothing to think about, you know, going somewhere else to get something better or maybe more suited to them, etc. You know, those golden handcuffs sometimes can be, well, actually, I don't want to leave, but I really want to make sure everyone knows how unhappy I am here. So I do think there is an element of responsibility back on the individuals to say, you know, what are you going to do about it if you are unhappy? And because we have a full labour market, we definitely have job skills shortages in most areas, you know, but I think what's happening is people are appreciating job security now. People don't necessarily want to be at risk of, you know, they're back starting a new job. What's the security and the certainty of that with the little bit of wobbles coming into the economy, of uncertainty, you know, those little kind of, I suppose, you know, tremors. People are definitely kind of saying, well, I don't know if I'll move right now. I'll stay where I am, even if I'm not as happy as I could be.
Yeah, well, we're a long way away from the days when people were just happy to have a job.
Massively so.
I suppose.
And rightly so.
Yeah, well, no, which is a good thing. But even when you mentioned those, you know, those kind of surveys that, you know, big corporate employers send out, like, it's very easy to understand why an employee might think, this is just for the sake of it. You don't actually care what I think, and you're certainly not going to do anything about it. It's just to be seen to be doing something.
I suppose there's no obligation to do it, firstly, on any employer. And somebody is going to the bother of doing it, which takes cost, time, effort, even if it's automated. And secondly, the majority of the organisations that ask actually want to know. It's the be careful what you ask, because then once you get the results, you kind of need to do something about it. So I definitely would say that in organisations where they do employee surveys or they do 360 degree feedback or, you know, any of those kind of initiatives, ultimately, they are in, you know, on the radar of wanting to try and see can they enhance it. You'll always see things, though, on the list like pay. We'd like more pay. We'd like better benefits. And some organisations, they will openly say, look, we can't enhance pay. We're in a sector where the margins are so tight or whatever the case may be. But maybe they might do benchmarking, you know, to kind of validate that a bit more. But in organisations where there's cultural issues like things associated with values or behaviours or, you know, dignity and respect, etc., I definitely see organisations really proactively wanting to address those kind of things. Because I suppose, look, it's going to do reputational damage, but it'll also do morale damage to the people that you have within the organisation.
Caroline, thanks for talking to us today. That was Caroline Reedy, their director of the HR suite. One texter says, I once worked in a bar in the UK. The manager was the owner's son and he was a bit of an ass. I was on a late early and he was and was only 2 to 3 minutes late for the 9 a.m. shift after leaving late at night. He started giving me an earful and I just snapped, said he can shove his job, went to walk out, but he stopped me as I had one of their T-shirts on. I took it off, threw it at him. I'm male, by the way. Walked out to my car topless. Was interesting. Then drove home topless. Yeah, well, you still had your dignity. That's the main thing. Another texter says, luckily, I liked the manager and left on good terms. But be warned, he turned up a few years later at my new company. There's a lot of wisdom in that.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.